Okay, business leaders, are you playing defense or are you on the offense? Are you just, excuse me, hey, I'm trying to talk business here. As I was saying, are you here just to play or are you playing to win? If you're in it to win, meet your next MVP, NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is your full business management system in one suite. With NetSuite, you're running your accounting, your financials, HR, e-commerce, and more, all from your online dashboard. One source of truth means every department's working from the same numbers with no data delays. And with AI embedded throughout, you're automating manual tasks, plus getting fast insights for your next move. Whether you're competing on your home turf or looking to conquer international markets, NetSuite helps you get the W. Over 40,000 businesses have already made the move to NetSuite, the number one cloud ERP.
Right now, get the CFO's Guide to AI and Machine Learning at netsuite.com/special. Get this free guide at netsuite.com/special.
Okay, guys.
Ah, can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Look what we have here, Bob. What a treat.
A special surprise to start a Thursday morning.
Not just Limits, not just you, and not just me. Tyler Kennedy.
Stanley Cup champion. Tyler Kennedy, in the flesh.
In the flesh, sitting right across from me. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, boys. Really enjoying it. You know, I got the text from Craig about 2 hours ago saying you're coming on at 10, and I completely forgot. And I was like, yeah, let's go. You know, obviously I love talking to you guys. And
you sound like me every time, like, we're on remote somewhere.
You forget where you're going.
He sends me a text 2 hours before the show, and I'm like, oh, my God, I completely forgot. You can vouch for that. Yes, Limits?
Once or twice. That's all.
Twice. So every Thursday, it looks like 10 to 11. This guy right here is going to be joining us, Bob. And you look wonderful today. Look at this sweater, Tyler.
Yeah.
Have you seen the guy
this
well-dressed?
This is old school sweater.
Yeah.
It's Argyle kind of thing. It's a good golf sweater, actually. You can wear it to the golf
course.
You got
course the, neck, the neck, the little bit of European, French.
I don't know. I had a cologne that I am very proud of. I think it smells good, and everybody says I smell like pancakes. It's not a pancake.
He does. He smells like syrup. Did you sniff him on the way by?
Yeah, I sniffed him. I
have never been sniffed this much before in my life.
Can you really? Like what's it smell? Like, what's the name?
It's called Night of Passion, Morning of Regret.
Whoa! I like it.
It's called House of Pancake. He does smell like syrup. Everybody was, it was like a dog walking, and everybody was sniffing him. It was unbelievable.
I miss those days.
It's like walking into a dressing room, you know, like if you change anything. I remember you go to an NHL dressing room, you come in with a new haircut, these guys would shred you like crazy. You'd be like, oh, did your mom give you a haircut last night? Jeez, did they have one eye? You know, like you couldn't do anything, or even a bad hat, a shirt, or
nothing smelled worse than hockey locker rooms. I mean, why is that? Because of all the equipment, and you sweat into 16 different things, and then they hang it up in the locker room. I've been in many locker rooms, hockey locker rooms. Oh my God!
Well, I think they just sweat so much. Like when you think of guys, like I have guys that go through 3 shirts in a game.
Yeah,
I didn't play that much, but like the top guys, they would be changing their shirt in between each period, and then trying to dry the gear. There's really nowhere for it to go. And, you know, actually there's a company that was trying to change like the smell of like sports gear.
I wish
and
it
was
it.
A company that would
talk with me. They could smell like pancakes.
Yeah. You can put these little things, but they'd put it in a bag and it would suck out all like the smell and all the moisture. And then you just unzip the bag and your gear's dry. And like, I think with NHL locker rooms, you go in there, it's like a hurricane or a tornado of smell because they got
really
the fans
is.
Going and it's just rocking in there. And it's just like, oh my God. Like
it's horrifying.
Are you glad you grew up at a time when there wasn't Twitter? And I say this because there have been stories where people would accidentally put pictures of themselves on and players would get those pictures and then put him big things in the locker room of the picture. I'm specifically thinking of a Jeff Reed story. And Jeff had, but I mean, can you
yes,
imagine,
I do know that
you know
story.
That story?
Yes.
And then all of a sudden that became like the entire locker room.
Right.
But anyway.
Yeah. So my first, like when I had Dan, when Dan came in, Twitter was just getting on. We had like, it was just starting and like no one really knew how to use it. I didn't even know how to use it, but there's like, I remember I would, you know, I was 20. I would go out a lot. You know, it didn't matter really what night because I was young. I could kind of do anything the next day. And my parents would call me from wherever I am, you know, wherever they're like back in Canada. They're like, oh, did you have fun last night? I go, yeah, you know, I just watched a movie, went out for dinner with the boys. And, you know, she'd be like, that's it? You just went back to the house after that? I go, yeah, it's just a quiet night. She goes, well, I read on Twitter, I typed in your name, and it was like you were at, you know, Diesel to 2 o'clock and then this and that. And I was like, oh my God. And like, you couldn't get away with anything. That's where you started.
Anymore, right?
Yeah, you couldn't get away with anything. And then Marc-Andre Fleury had a Christmas party. And one of the guys gave me the shirt. It wasn't even that bad, but it had like, you know, all this like lights and everything on it. And one of the guys just took a picture of me, and it looked like I was pretty cross-eyed in the picture, and I tweeted it. And, you know, sometimes you look like you're a lot more crushed than you are pictures. And I end up posting it, and, like, the next day, I'm, you know, taped my stick, cut my stick, and Dan Balsman comes in, shuts the door, and I'm like, yeah? And he's like, we got to talk about your Twitter. And I'm like, what? And he goes, I was like, Dan, the whole team was there. It was just us and the boys and the wives, you know. And he goes, well, you know what? That's the last time you're ever going to tweet. You're going to shut it down. You're done. And I'm like, Dan, I had like 40,000 followers. You know how hard I have to work to get this now? You know, and I end up shutting it down, and I never really ever used it again. But, again, it's one of those things that you got to really watch what you do, what you post, because so many people have opinions.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
You even have these trolls like on like
Instagram
and Twitter. And it's just like, just these guys that are like, they have these private accounts that go after you. And it's like, dude, open your account. Let me come back at you. Instead of showing this like stupid picture of you, let me come back with some heat. But they never do. They're like little trolls. You know, yeah. It drives me nuts.
That was Ben Roethlisberger talking about them.
Yeah. You have those, Joe, and so do I.
Oh, of course.
I have a lot of them.
Yes, of course. And you're the nicest man in America. Nobody should ever be mad at you.
Actually, they make me laugh, some of them, some of the comments they make. So
it's usually jealousy, right?
Huh?
It's usually jealousy.
It doesn't even matter. Whatever. As long as it's
the same as with the Chiefs. But back to Bob's outfit, Tyler. His wife lays out his outfit the night before. Does that happen in your household?
Oh, not with three kids. My wife, she tells me what looks good and what doesn't. Like, usually if I get dressed, she's like,
I don't even get that much.
You know, but I feel like my wife's got good style and I trust what she says.
Oh, she does.
Yeah, she's into that kind of stuff.
Does she buy your clothes?
Like, you know, like Christmas and, you know, the hall of my birthday. She always gets me usually clothes. And
does it go that far in your house, Bob, to where your wife not only plans your wardrobe but buys it?
Absolutely. It doesn't.
That is incredible,
it takes a lot
Tyler.
Of pressure off me. I'm used to, if it was up to me, I would just... Whatever I come up with, but no, she takes that very seriously, and so therefore I do too, and I would never change her opinion.
It shows. You look wonderful every single day.
You're so kind.
You know what's funny is like when I was younger, it didn't matter how it felt. If it looked good, I was wearing it. Now it's like completely opposite. Like I'm going for the most comfortable underwear. I want the butter on this body, you know, the butter material, you know, and like that's all I look for, shoes. It's like I want to be walking on a pillow. You know what I mean?
Boxers
like,
or briefs or little or half and half?
Boxer briefs. They're
boxer briefs,
You ever heard of the second skin?
Yeah.
No?
Tommy John's?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I like those.
I asked my wife for two pairs. She got me six pairs.
And she likes them too, apparently.
Yeah. You got to take with pancake. But anyways.
You want some pancake lotion?
Pancake lotion.
Really,
and they have shirts too.
Yeah.
The shirts, like I was never a guy that wore like the real tight shirts. But they're butter. Like they just feel so nice.
Do you ever get the one two under?
The what?
It's an underwear. It's a golf underwear. Two under.
No.
Hopefully that's always the case, Bob.
Yeah.
But what's the advantage there?
More room.
More room. Okay.
Sort of the same kind of concept. It's between a boxer and a brief, but it gives you a little bit more breathing room, or maybe you don't want that.
So they have different one under, even, plus one, you know.
Plus one.
I'm a triple bogey.
Yeah.
So where do we go from here, Tyler? I guess I'm trying to avoid talking about the Penguins at the top of the show for some reason. Are you mad?
But they're
that
coming off a win, though, Joe. You
know, I know.
Now they have four games. I think they need to win them all.
Are you mad that I'm wearing a Sabres
Yeah. Hat? I was very shocked that you're wearing a Sabres.
Well, I'm from Buffalo, and I feel sorry for them.
They yeah, that's probably win. Why you're wearing it, because you feel sorry, but wow, are they in a mess right now?
Oh, my God.
They got, I mean, look at their blue line. They have like.
They have some of the best young players on their blue line.
Like, I don't know. How they, like, they got rid of some guys that were, like, key pieces. Like, O'Reilly, he left, won a Stanley Cup. Like, talk about a leader.
Yeah.
Guys like that, you need to kind of keep those young guys intact, because the biggest thing when we, you know, when you have a real good up-and-coming star, you got to surround them by veteran guys that can keep a first-liner in his role or in his place. You know what I mean? Like, when you think of Crosby and you think of Malkin, like, Billy Guerin had no problem putting Sid in his place or making him feel relaxed. You know
really?
What I mean? And that those guys don't really have that. You know, they got rid of those guys. So those young guys, they don't really have anyone to lean on or, like, even how to, like, approach the pressure of the game or producing. So, like, I feel bad for those guys because it's such a great hockey market. And you watch the game was sold out.
Yeah.
Like, the game was packed.
Yeah.
If it's scary, but I feel like if the Penguins are doing that bad for that long – the attendance would be down just because.
Well, it already is this year.
Yeah, I mean, just because of, you know, Pittsburgh, Pittsburgh expects you to do well. And, like, it's funny. I did a signing at Giant Eagle. You guys are like this one. So I did a signing at Giant Eagle, and I'm going to Giant Eagle, and I'm about to pull in, and the lineup's around the corner, and my chest pops out, and I'm like, wow, I still got it. This is awesome. People still love TK. You know, and I feel so good. I walk in. And beside me is, like, Jalen Warren, you know, the running back. There's probably 500 people. I probably signed 100 things. Jalen, he couldn't sign enough, you know, but that's like Pittsburgh, you know. And everyone's like, oh, I hope they do better. I hope they do better, you know. And then everything else was Steelers, so.
Tyler Kennedy joining us this morning, 10 to 11. Every Thursday, you're going to hear this Stanley Cup champion off the top presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We got all kinds of treats coming on the show today, including our latest edition of the Limitless Express, our football take every day, which Limits here. You know, we call him City Limits just as a matter of protocol, Tyler.
Well, it's one of many nicknames that all of a sudden will come out of the blue, and you may be confused, but don't be.
The Limitless Wonder Twin,
Mr. P, City Dweller. You can call him whatever you like. Even Austin, that's his name. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. Speaking of Penguins and Sabres, you are involved in one of the greatest sporting events I ever covered. It's in the top five, and that was the outdoor game. I mean, what was it like going on the bus to the game? It was like a football game in Buffalo. There were tailgates outside, a light snow falling. It must have been phenomenal as a player to participate.
Especially when you're 20 years old.
Yeah.
Right? It was like, I wasn't sure what to expect, but going there, you know, it was a Buffalo Mafia going through. Guys are going through chair, you know, going through tables.
Tables.
Yeah. You know, and like we got, you know, I think it was like a 1 or 3 o'clock game. And 9 o'clock, you can tell people were having fun already. You know, like everything, and like everybody was going wild. And then you go into the stadium and how it all kind of came together. And it was, I think, out of my three I played in, that was probably the most special, just because of how it played out, how we won, how Sid scored, how I was only 20, wasn't sure what to expect. And just the production the Buffalo Sabres and the city put on was phenomenal, and it was lights out.
Were you there, Bob?
Yes. We did a whole special on it, yeah, before and after the game.
I'll never forget it. I mean,
no. I like the one that was here, too, even though it was bad what happened in that one at the time, Heinz Field. I love that kind of stuff. And I thought maybe the NHL might go too far and do too many of them.
Yeah,
I think they have.
And that's what I was going to say. I think they have crossed the line a little bit. It's a special event, and it should be special. You know, not.
What were you doing when Sid scored that phenomenal goal? in the shootout.
I was on the bench one. But no, I was obviously watching, and just Sid was like in his prime, and the way he had every city we went to, every game we played, we had so much attention on our team, you know, and it's like that effect of Sidney Crosby. And you know, to see him score, and when you think of good players, you know, when you think of Crosby, think of McDavid's, yes, they're unbelievably talented, but having the ability to live up to those contracts, live up to the hype, I think that makes them more special than their actual ability. Because, again, when we used to go to these towns, there would be so many people with their eyes on Sid. You know, like everyone, there was so much pressure on him, and I was a third line guy, and I felt pressure. I'm like, how does this guy sleep at night? But he was so mentally strong and just so confident that, like, I was like, this guy's got it all. And that's what makes a guy special, you know. And to score an OT with, I think the whole country was watching that, you know, it's pretty special. And I'm hearing rumors right now, the Washington Capitals might play the Penguins with the retro jerseys down in Akershire next year.
Wow, some breaking news. Ding, ding, ding.
That's just a rumor. That's a rumor.
That's okay. We'll take it and run with it.
But wouldn't that be cool?
That would be great.
With Ovechkin, with the old Capitals.
How about if Ovechkin breaks the record for
that night?
That night. The Gretzky all-timer. He's like 21 away from
it. Would you want him to break the record here? Or no? Would you, Tyler?
I would like to see something historic, even as long as they lose.
What about Ovechkin? Let's talk about him for a minute, because I had Brooks Orpik on the record when he was with the Penguins saying that he tries to hurt our players. Like he would take runs at Geno. He was trying to hurt people way back when. He was hated. Has it come around to the point where you'd actually you like him and want to see him break the record and wouldn't even mind seeing it in Pittsburgh? Talk about the whole Ovechkin thing, because he used to try to hurt you guys, like injure.
Well, one, that's what make those battles back in the day. It's so exciting because, like, there was hatred there. Like, we were, you know. Like, if you ever saw Ovechkin with the head down, I think the whole league was trying to get him too, you know? But what made him so special was he'd have a hat trick and he'd run three guys through the wall. And it was like he played such a power forward, keep your head up. Like, that's what made Ovechkin. So as a player, I respected that, you know? And I loved the battle that him and Sid, because it was like, again, it was one of those things. You circled that on your calendar and you knew you had to come to play, because they bring their best, we bring their best. And then, you know, a couple times Ovi would come to our dress room after our game, because him and Gino were, you know, after they got through, remember he was always trying to kill Gino?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
But once they got through that, something happened in the summer where they either trained together or something. They were like friends. And then he would start showing up after the game, you know, to talk to Gonchar and Malkin. And he would go there with no shirt on. And even right now, he's 238. Like, he might be top five heaviest guys in the league, and he's one of the – he's going to be the best goal scorer of all time. Like, that's hard to find. And then about 2 years ago, I went to Florida for the All-Star game, and I met him there. We were staying at the same hotel, and he remembered me. We shot it for a little bit, and he was such a great dude. Like, just awesome to hang out. Like, you know the guys you just have good chemistry with, and he's just, like, just one of the boys. And even talking to Orpik, he goes, he's different from Sid. Sid had to be a certain way just because I felt like he was in his own country, or, you know, Canada, U.S. He had, like, there's so many more eyes on Sid, so he had to be a little bit more straight-laced than Ovi. But he goes, Ovi was the guy that'd be like, all right, boys, we're going. We're going out tonight. Let's go. He's like one of those guys. If you see, like, Sid at pregame meal, he'd be eating health. He'd be doing all the little things to make him the best. Where Ovi would be going, all right, I'm going to get, you know, put a little more Alfredo on that pregame meal. And it's just, they're just two different people. But
yeah,
I remember Orpik saying the one thing that made them similar is that desire to be the best. When the puck dropped, they had that, you know, I guess that I want to win, that grit that, hey, I'll do anything to win. And that's what makes, you know, playing in that era of when they first started, first 10 years was so special. And, like, again, I felt like my first 6 years with the Penguins was, like, by far the best of my career. One, because of Sid, and two, because of the rivalries we had, because we had such a good team with the Washington Capitals, with Ovi, with Philadelphia. you know, with New York.
No, it was awesome stuff. I remember a couple of times it looked like Malkin and Ovechkin were going to get the blows. I mean, he tried to take him out. I remember the one hit that Ovechkin put on him in the, and it looked like he was just trying to take his legs out.
Behind the net?
Behind the net, yeah.
And he killed himself. Him, right?
He did.
Ovechkin almost killed himself on that play.
He was so impactful that way. He could hurt you and himself in the same, because of what Tyler said, his big body. I just want to talk about superstars. I want to get your opinion on this. You saw this just a few days ago. Connor McDavid got suspended for 3 games.
Yeah.
As a player, I looked at that. I'm wondering how you would, as someone who watched it, Granlund, to me, took a couple of shots at him and wasn't called. At some point, McDavid's going to respond, right?
Yeah.
And he did. Not the right way, I suppose. Did he deserve 3 games for that? I didn't think so. I don't know what you thought.
Like, it's like when you think of the NHL, the ref, just like, guys, who's selling the game right now? I don't know about you, but McDavid's the new Crosby, right, in his prime, where when he goes to a city, that whole stadium's sold out, and you're going to get a guy like Granlund who's trying to get under his skin, right? And it's like, what do you want McDavid to do? Like, is he just going to let these guys do it? Because if he does, they're always going to do it. You're going to get a bunch of guys, like say a Bunting on the Penguins going, hey, if that Granlund did it, I bet you I can get under his skin too. But now, after McDavid cross-checked them, I bet you Bunting's, if it was Bunting, he'd be like, you know what? Maybe I don't want to eat my teeth tonight. And then it's like going back to the instigator rule. Because if I played and someone was doing that to Sid, it was like, I remember a time when Evander Kane was doing it to Sid, and that's when Matt Cook got knocked out. And it was like, we went back to the room and Matt Cook's like, you want to handle it? You know what, TK? I'll go after him. And now I'm like, thank God, you know? But it was like, I'm surprised no one on Edmonton went after him, but it's like that new NHL. Like, it's not.
The Penguins have had that problem where Sidney's getting roughed up and nobody's coming to his aid, and he has to take it in his own hands. And I don't like that.
Yeah,
look.
I don't blame these guys. And there's only two of them in the league, basically, right now. The two greatest, maybe a handful more. Sid's done some really dirty stuff, and I say good for him because the league doesn't protect him. Nope. You guys used to a certain extent, but this team doesn't. So who's gonna protect him but themselves?
But I think if you took a poll right now of, like, and you know, Penguin alumni, people around the rink, one thing I think the Penguins have been missing for years is a true tough guy. A true guy that can change a game by a big hit or calling on the other
team.
Well,
they had one here in Reeves.
And I can't, just knowing a guy had my back and I was never going to get jumped by a guy that was tougher than me made me just feel so much better. You know, it's like when I looked across the other bench and a guy was my size, like, there was no problems standing up for myself. But if I was fighting a guy or had to take on a guy that was 30 pounds heavier, like, I knew I was going to get beat up, you know. And just having that cup, if he didn't play, I knew when Eric Goddard was in the lineup or Aaron Asham, all right, I can just play my game. Something happens, those guys can handle it, and I can just, you know, handle the other guys. And, like, when I think of Sid, what happens to Sid right now, it's just, like, it boils my blood because, like, what he's done for the team, how he is with his teammates, it's like, you know, how do you let a guy cross-check, and then Sid goes down the hall, down the runway, and he's screaming in pain, and you're like, and it's like, boys, if you want another contract and you're on the third and fourth line, like, go jump them. I think the whole team would be okay if you jumped them or just literally stuck up for them and showed them, like, hey, you're not going to do this to the guy. Like,
right.
It's unbelievable. And, again, it's a different game now, and players don't do that anymore. And even now when I think of I talked about this on Mark Mann the other day, and it was, yeah, you want guys to stick up for Crosby. But when I got traded to New Jersey and I was on a 1-year deal, and it, when you get on 1-year deals and you're after Christmas and something like that happens, you're like, well, do I stick up for him and get, you know, beat up when I only have really 2 months left of this team? And then these guys are probably going to let me go. I got to find another team. Like, you start playing those games when you're on those short-term contracts where when I was on a 2 or 3 year deal with the Penguins and I knew I was going to be here for a long time, like I knew that was part of my job, that next year they would look back on this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's kind of that trend, you know, that signing those guys to short-term deals that are kind of like, you know, where, you know, getting traded every year. You know, they kind of start, I think they start thinking like, well, if I do this, is it going to mean something this summer? Probably not. You know, like, I don't know. It's like a very tough, like, situation.
Unless you impress the captain enough that he goes and says, I want that dude back.
Yeah,
exactly. But I think you got to do it more than once. So that's the problem. Yeah. And I don't know. Maybe guys just aren't willing to do it anymore.
Yeah, I'm looking at your lineup from that outdoor game. New Year's Day 2008, George Laroque was in your lineup. And then you had guys like you and Colby and Jarkko Ruutu who could irritate other people the way that people wanted to do to Sid. So I imagine it was like, hey, you want to do that to him? This is what we'll do to one of your guys.
Well, when you think of that, right, you got a heavyweight, you got a middleweight, and then you got about three lightweights, right? Yeah. That's all you need, you know? And, like, you mix some other guys in there, but you covered all three bases.
And Orpik.
Yeah.
Crushing people on the back end.
Yeah, but again, I don't think Orpik would have played the way he did if he didn't have a guy like George Laroque. Because, again,
he wouldn't fight, right?
Well, I just think he'd be fighting every night if he played that way,
yeah.
You know? And he knew that if, you know, even the tough guys would be like, Orp, you keep playing your way, I'll handle everything else. Because those guys, like Orpik, would change games with big hits.
Yeah.
And that's what the team, like, it's all about emotion. It's all about keeping the emotion on your side and keeping their emotion out of it. And that's how you win games. But guys like Orpik can change the emotion of a game by big hits, getting their team riled up, and you just keep running with it. You know, it's...
Man, do I miss that, Tyler, in the NHL at large. Two of my favorite players to talk to and two of my favorite Penguins of all time by their style of play were Kasparaitis, who was one of the last guys to crush people with hip checks, and then Orpik, who was one of the, we can say, one of the last great hitters in a league where they don't hit anymore.
I did a charity game in Johnstown for the Tomahawks, and Kasper was down there. First shift, the young kid came through the middle on the other team. Kasper hip checked this kid. It was sold out. The whole rink went quiet. And it was like unbelievable. Even
how old was the kid?
He was like 19.
Nine.
19. But Casper's in real good shape. Like he's even like at Mario's fantasy camp, he started like, you know, just finishing checks being Kasper. And it was like he gets everyone riled up, but he gets you off your seat and he's a guy that I would hate to play because he is like, you know, you don't know what
Ask
you're getting.
Ask Mario about that. But my point there was, man, just mentioning those names reminds me of I don't love this. I went to a Penguins Columbus game 2 weeks ago. There wasn't one hit, any sort of
now that's a game that you normally expect
hit.
Both sides.
There wasn't one hit in the whole game, Tyler, that moved anything. Yeah. And it's just hitting's gone almost in the NHL.
Like what gets you out of your seat? A fight? A big hit, a goal, a big save. Like those four things.
Yeah.
If you take two away, you better hope those other two get a lot of. And sometimes you don't score. Sometimes, you know, the goalie doesn't make a big save or get scored on, you know. So that's, you know, I think that kind of energy is needed. And especially, again, for the Penguins, I would love to see them get a guy that can kind of change the game with a momentum changer like a hit or